Welcome, Cosmic Cinephiles, to the Syndicate's stellar journey, Under the Skin. We delve into the themes of isolation and the surreal of Predator and Prey. Here we traverse the galactic expanse of a film that challenges our very understanding of human nature. Together with Ruthie, whose insights cut sharper than a laser through outer space, we explore an alien's quest through humanity's maze, uncovering a cinematic enigma that defies our expectations. From the strange voyeurism of guerrilla filmmaking to an unnerving dance with identity, we're peeling back the layers of this film as it skims across the surface of our deepest fears and desires. So strap in, listeners, as we embark on this interstellar narrative where the alien we discover may just be the entity gazing back at us from the mirror.
Welcome to The Syndicate, a film and TV podcast. Be a part of the conversation as industry insiders, genre lovers, and cinephiles dare to peek beyond the curtains of imagination and dive into the art of cinema. Join us as we want you to spend less time scrolling and more time watching. Now here's your host, Armand Haddad.
Ruthie, thank you so much for coming back onto the show. I'm so glad you're here, and I'm so excited to talk about the film that we're going to talk about. We're going to go beneath the surface and talk about Under the Skin, a classic film that came out about 10 years ago, 11 years ago.
Who's counting?
Who's counting? Ruthie, I'm so glad you're here. Welcome.
I'm glad to be back. Thank you for having me back on. This has been a really interesting watch.
Yeah, so it's funny because like the first time you were on this show, you had the rest of your crew on, Ed and Hector. Mm-hmm. We talked about Annihilation, which is one of my favorite films from Alex Garland. But we're talking about Under the Skin, and I think it's like a distant cousin or maybe like a sister film to Annihilation. What were your first impressions? Because I pitched this to you. I was like, hey, do you like cosmic horror? And you're like, yeah. And I was like, let's check out this film.
Yeah, I really enjoy cosmic horror. I'm a Lovecraft girly. Watching this movie, it's not a movie that I would have picked out for myself, but it was a very, like I said, it was a very interesting watch. And yeah, I can see the similarity. I was kind of thinking like, wow, this is like a mashup of like Annihilation, of Persona. Oh, there was another one that we were talking about. It's kind of funny how things come together.
Yeah. And you guys on your podcast, Reshoot, you guys did The Color Out of Space as well, which is definitely Lovecraft. It was a Lovecraft short story.
Yeah.
And I felt like this film is also in the same vein as that film too.
Yeah, it's like the Invasion of the that was it. Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Classic story. Yeah, like this film, this has been on my watch list for a while now, and I'll reveal it now. This was my first time watching it, and oh man, I wish I saw this sooner because like I wouldn't classify this as sci-fi, even though it has, you know, we're following some aliens here and there. It's more of a horror because we're seeing the horrors of like, you know, isolation and what does it mean to be human and alienation. Mm-hmm. And the whole like,
literally.
Yeah. And even like what it means to be like a man or a woman in our society. Like it gets really deep with this film, and mm-hmm. I really, really enjoyed that. And it's just done so well. It's very stylistic. And I was very surprised. And it takes a lot for me to be horrified of the images that I see on screen. And it's always the cosmic horror, the unknown, the unnerving for me that really gets me. And there's a scene in this film that just, I was like, okay, I'm going to have nightmares tonight.
Is it the meat space scene?
Yeah. Because like,
yeah,
I've seen images. And usually that's what sells me on a movie is like the cinematography. And
right.
Every time, and we're going to get into it, every time Scarlett Johansson's character like finds her prey, if you will, they end up in this void, this dark void. And oh my God. Yeah. Turning these people into like, what do you call it? Balloons. I don't even know how to describe it. It's horrors beyond my comprehension. And I'm watching this. I'm like, oh my God.
It's like, if you've seen Men in Black, what happens without giving spoilers is, she's taking them to the Eggersuit factory to allow for the Egger suit wearing.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. It was, I don't know how they did it. I don't want to know how they did it. I was just enthralled with the spectacle that I've seen. I haven't been this creeped out since I saw Nope.
Nope was intense. That was the first movie I ever saw in IMAX.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
you got sucked up into the flying saucer.
Horrible. I hated it, but it was awesome.
It was awesome. Like, you left and you're like, wow, I'm horrified, but it felt good.
Yeah.
And like this film too, like, that's just one element leaving this film. I was like, wow, I'm horrified, but also I am touched in a way that I did not expect. I was like, huh, this is a thinking person's film.
Yeah. I feel like for me, for my movie watching, there was a little bit more style than I would have preferred on the style to substance ratio. Because there were large parts of the movie where when Hector and I were watching it, we were like, what's going on? What? Who is she?
What? How come the movie's not thinking for me? Come on, Ruthie. I'm just going to say this, and then we're going to jump into the film. Because you could, big critique, because I looked up this film's reviews, and like, people just didn't get it. And I think it's because, I'm not going to say it has more style over substance. There is substance, but it's more visual storytelling, if you will, rather than exposition. I'm going to tell you what's happening. We're from the Delta Sigma star system, and we're going to hear, you know, it's, harvest it's not bodies.
Not your mama's Star Trek.
No, not at all. Because there's long periods of no dialogue. It's just visual storytelling. And there's enough dialogue between the main character, Scarlett Johansson's character, and other people where it's like, okay, I can understand what's happening, but a lot of it is body language.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe style over substance isn't the right way for me to put it. When we were watching the movie, we were kind of talking through the parts when there was not a lot of talking. The best way I can put it is there's a lot to look at, and it felt like there was a thicker shell to this movie than normal movies. Yeah. Perhaps there is something under the skin for this movie that it took me a little bit to perceive.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the word shell, and I want to unpack that. Because like, this film has an exoskeleton, but if you go underneath it, it says a lot, and it's surprising because like, I didn't expect that from this film. But let's jump right into it. We've been dancing around the plot, and I want to just rip the seal off, go underneath the skin of under the skin. but before we do, I want to give like a general plot synopsis. It's a very simple film, as we were alluding to. Ruthie, can you give me the overall plot of Under the Skin?
Yeah, so Scarlett Johansson is an alien who is driving a van around rural Scotland, and she just takes people. She finds people with no one who live alone, and she will take them, and she'll kind of take them to abandoned places, and then she will do this weird ritual where they fall beneath the surface of this water, and stuff happens, and it's... It's her kind of encountering humanity because she is an alien, and she does a really good job portraying an alien, actually. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, like, this film on the surface is, you know, Invasion of the Body Snatchers. It's an alien, because like the onboarding, it's very subtle. You blink and you miss it. But like, I feel like either it's a UFO or deadlights coming to Earth, and this... At this point, we don't know this is an alien. This motorcyclist gets like this, I assume a dead body of this woman. And then Scarlett Johansson's character takes the clothes off of this body and then becomes this very attractive woman who then is a hunter to find the hunted, usually single men with no family, no friends, no plans, people that she can just take and no one will notice. And through her journey, she kind of, like you said, kind of becomes more human than us humans, even though she's an alien. She's like on the outside of our society, our civilization, our race. And she's like, I want to become something else. I want to become human. What does it mean to be human? What does it take for me to become a human? I want to become a human.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Yeah, it's very interesting because, like, coming into the movie, I knew that the theme was about immigration because I'd seen something about that from the director. I thought it was very notable that, you know, typically women in society, they're kind of perceived as something that to be preyed upon. And in this movie, it flips it on its head. I don't know if the aliens realized how good of a setup they had going for them, where they had the prey tricking the predators into these very easy situations, because if they had a man in a van trying to invite women to come back to their place, no, that wouldn't happen.
Would not work. Yeah. Cause like you talk about like the shell, and her shell is a creepy white van that a serial killer would drive, but it's an attractive woman. It's Scarlett Johansson, and she is being the predator. She is going after men. And like you said, it's usually reversed. It's usually a creepy dude, and he's going after unsuspecting women. And oh, it's just a perfect setup, because it's like kind of like the honeypot attracting the flies or the bees. Yeah, it's so perfect. And I don't know if you know this, but I did some research into the production of this film, and I kind of had that inkling when I was watching it. There's a lot of guerrilla style filmmaking in this movie, meaning there's no permits. The extras aren't extras. They're actually people. And the beginning scene where she's like, you know, she has, you know, human clothes on from the woman. She's walking in a mall. Those are real people. Those are not actors. And I'm watching, I'm like, probably no one recognizes that Scarlett Johansson just walking among the people.
Yeah, I think the only other like guerrilla style thing I've seen when I'm thinking about it is the Stromae music video, Formidable.
I don't know this one.
Okay, well, he's singing this song, and the idea is that the singer of this song is like drunk. He just got broken up with by his ex, and so he's like miserable and yelling at everybody. And so in the music video, he's pretending to be drunk. He's got AirPods in, and he's just yelling drunkenly at a Parisian train station. And the cops show up, and they're like, "Hey, you good? Are you fine?" And he's like, "Oh yeah, I'm fine. I'm sorry. I had too much to drink. I had a bad night." And goes back into it. That very is, similar style. Yeah.
That is amazing. Yeah. Cause like, it's so, I mean, I applaud every filmmaker that does that. Even, what's his name? James Cameron for the Terminator, the first Terminator, did guerrilla style filmmaking. You know, people are cheap. They don't have a lot of money. as you could tell with this film, you know, it's a low budget film, but like the budget is spent where it needs to be spent, which is that amazing abyss shots. Like, I don't even like, I don't know how they did it. I assume a soundstage with water or a glass surface. But anyways, like, I bring it up because like a lot of, she encounters people on the street and she talks to people on the street, and some of the people aren't filmed. They're off camera. They're either outside the van and we see them, you know, through the van, van's windows. Mm-hmm. And she's like, just talking to people like, hey, where are you going? I'm lost. Those are all real people.
Wow, that changes it quite a bit. And that definitely adds to this feeling that you get when you're watching this movie, where like she's watching people, and it kind of adds to that people watching sense that you're being preyed on. Yes. Somebody's watching you. Yes. Yeah.
Cause like this film is all, it's not filmed very conventionally. It's very stylistic, and we follow her, and a lot of it is the camera is over her shoulder. It's beneath her, like that mall shot that I was talking about. It's kind of below our perspective of like where our eye line is. So it's like tilted up, but like underneath her. And it like, you can't really see people's faces. So it's like everything is obscured, and it's all like we're the alien observing voyeuristically this. Mm-hmm. In their perspective, this alien society that they're trying to fit into. And I think it's so well done. And I want to bring up the van again, because like she's talking to these people in the van, and like there's a clear separation between her and a normal person. And when I was watching it, I didn't know they were literally normal people. But like there's a clear separation. There's a barrier between her, the alien, and them, the human. A normal person and her.
Mm-hmm.
With the car door. Yeah. In the van.
Well, and I kind of noticed it about halfway through, like she's always talking with these men, and the way that she's like flirting at these men to get them in the car, it didn't feel like the way a woman would flirt, like gender roles, a woman would flirt at men to get them to come in the car. She didn't go for like the clothes. She didn't do like the body language. She didn't like, oh, woe is me, I'm helpless. She said, I'm lost, but that was to get them alone.
Yeah.
But she kind of just like kept throwing compliments to see what would stick. And it felt like a way a guy would flirt more than a woman.
Really?
To me, at least. I'm not very good at picking up flirts.
I mean, she's the alien. She doesn't mm-hmm. know societal norms.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
What's expected. It's, she's learning while she's there, but she knows what she does know. And we keep on saying her, could be an it. It's an alien wearing the skin of a human. She's learning as she goes on, and she's learning human behavior, which then translates to, I want to become a human. So as a woman, I'm a man watching this. What was it like through your lens of being female?
I thought it was very interesting. I was, like I said, Hector and I were like talking through it. And I think I picked up a lot more on that. Like, oh yeah, she's absolutely preying on these men. Why are they getting into the car? The kind of ending part of the movie, I was expecting it to end in a very different way.
Right. I didn't know how this movie was going to end.
Yeah.
But I like how it ended, to be honest.
I liked how it ended. I thought when he was in the middle of that, she would be like, she would figure out a way to kind of trick him back into that meat space. Okay. And he would be her last victim and she would be able to escape. But that did not happen. But it was very interesting to watch.
Yeah, I want to talk about her victims, because like the first act, like we're following her and she's like hunting people, and she kills two men. Both got into the car. You know, they were, you know, you ask like, why would they get into this van with this woman? It's because she's beautiful. We trust people that are typically attractive more than, you know, people that are not conventionally attractive or ugly people.
For sure.
Like there's this level of like, oh, I trust you. like you're an authority figure if you're more attractive. Society is like, oh, I'm going to like, look at all our presidents, for example. They're not ugly. I mean, there are more handsome people, of course. They go into acting. But if you can't, if you're not that attractive, you can't go into acting. So what's the other part? You go into politics. A lot of our politicians are typically more beautiful. And I want to talk about that because, like, she picks up a dude, and this is the turning point. This is the second act. She picks up a man who is actually physically disfigured. He has, like, elephantitis or something. He looks like the Elephant Man. His face is all messed up. And he's used to being alone. He espouses that, you know, he never had a love interest, doesn't have friends, he's just going to the supermarket. So at this point, she changes. There's a spark of change. She was going to kill him, and then she changed her mind. And I'm watching, and I'm like, you're really going to kill this dude? It's like killing an injured bird. Like, he is not, like, no. Like, yeah, he's the easy target, but, like, you don't do that. And she had a shred of humanity right then and there. She was like, no, and then she saved him from the abyss. But, like, to your points, like, why are these men going in here? It's because they trust beautiful people. But then she trusted this dude, this ugly guy. There's a flip with the expectation there.
Yeah, when we were watching that part, both of us were like, oh, man, this is going to hurt. We don't want to. Oh, he's so alone. And the reason that she was able to get him now was he said he didn't want to go to the grocery store at normal hours. She's picking up men at like the kind of twilight hours where there's not a lot of people walking around. And he said, I'm just tired of people harassing me while I'm trying to get my groceries.
Right.
And yeah, she's trying like her normal like flirting techniques, and all she can kind of get a response out of him was like, oh, I like your hands. And he's like confused by someone likes me. What?
Yeah. He couldn't believe it. And what I really liked was the director zoomed in on the actor's hands, and he's pinching his hand.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, is this for real? Does this beautiful girl want to be with me? This has never happened before. Is this for real? But it's actually happening.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh no. Like you said, this is going to hurt. He's this just this innocent, sweet guy, and she's going to kill him. But then she doesn't.
Yeah. But then motorcycle guy gets a hold of him. And
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to talk about, you know, the mysterious motorcycle character, because like, it's not just Scarlett Johansson's character as the woman picking up people. There's also this dude. And he's like in the onboarding of the film, he acquires the body of this woman. And then Scarlett Johansson assumes the identity of this person, takes the clothes and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But all through the film, he's just kind of there and they're kind of working together. I feel like there is this secretive aspect to their mission to procure all these humans for whatever, whether it's food. They're kind of like vampires because like, they're harvesting our insides, but then like leaving the skin for them to wear.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this element of like, we need to keep the secret or else our cover is blown and we have to like leave or whatever. There's a danger to our safety.
Mm-hmm.
But like when she deviates from the plan, he goes from accomplice to what I assume as pursuer.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was expecting like the final confrontation in Act 3, but what's interesting is he can't find her anymore.
Right.
Where once, like, they were kind of invisible except to each other, now that she's assimilating into human society, he can't pinpoint her as fast or at all at the end of the movie.
Right. Because, like, after her encounter with a disfigured man, she encounters another dude because, like, she is having, like, an existential crisis. Like, she's like, am I an alien? Do I want to be human? And she tries to become human. And what's interesting, because I bring up the vampire motif, because, like, vampires need to feed upon the blood of living humans or creatures. They can't eat normal food. It's disgusting to them. It just doesn't work. And she tries to eat human food. She's like, I don't want to kill people. I don't want to harvest their insides. Let me try to eat like this cake. She like spits it up. It's disgusting. It doesn't work. And what's interesting is during that, she encounters a dude who thinks she's in trouble. And he takes her in. And he's so nice. And I'm like, this is a horror film. It's going to go bad. It's not going to work. Oh, I'm going to feel so bad when motorcycle dude comes and like kills him.
Mm-hmm.
But that never happens. Something else happens.
Yeah. We're assuming motorcycle guy was going to show up, or at least I was. Hector was a little quicker to the draw and picking up what was going on. Mm-hmm. But the two of them are becoming closer and they start to get intimate.
Yeah.
And right as things are starting to happen, she stops everything. She grabs a lamp and what we see is her back as she's taking a lamp down there, kind of just looking to see what's going on down there, which is a great question.
What I think is going on, it doesn't spell it out. And I was like, what's happening? I'm not sitting there like, I know exactly. I'm here for the ride. It's only afterwards when I'm like, oh, this is probably why. She probably doesn't have the equipment. Probably doesn't have a vagina down there.
Yeah.
Because the dude was like, huh, what? And she's like, huh? Nothing there. And then she runs away. Out of shame.
Well, she probably had no idea what was supposed to be down there. Because again, like she's only been dealing with a lot of like men. So what's going on? What am I supposed to have? What am I supposed to be working with down here?
Right.
And there's kind of an absence if she's just wearing like a skin.
Right. Yeah. Like she's trying to be human, but ultimately she isn't. She can't even have a romantic relationship with, like, a fellow human. And so, yeah, she, like, isolates herself because she feels alienated. She can't assimilate at all. She wants to assimilate, and she can't. And there's two points I want to talk about. But first, I want to, like, finish off this trajectory that we're on. She goes into the forest, and she encounters, like, the last guy she's going to see.
Yeah.
And I didn't expect this to happen. I don't think you did either. She's just walking through the forest and she encounters like a fellow hiker. And this man's like, oh yeah, just go that way. It's a good place for like solitude and stuff. And this man turns up again and assaults her and chases her. And I was surprised as she was. And I think that's the intention of the director because like, you know, even though she was the predator, she was the hunter going after people. When she gets that turn and wants to become human, there is this level of naivete to her because like, even though she was, like the antagonist, the person hunting people, the danger. She didn't see other men or other humans as a danger, which then led her to that situation. And then I was in that situation too, watching this. I'm like, oh man, this is a bad guy. This is a bad man. I did not expect this to happen that way. And neither did she.
As soon as I saw him, I was actually getting my like creep ping started. Like, oh, I don't like him. I don't like him.
It's like, why is this dude out here?
Yeah. Well, because we're from the United States, like I saw he was in like the red jumpsuit with the high-vis vest. Yeah. My first thought was like, is this one of those like convict clean up the road situations? And then like she goes off, she wanders, she enters into the bothy and I'm like, okay, fine. Yeah. Maybe I was just overreacting and then cut to and like, shit, I was right.
Yeah, I didn't. I thought he was like a construction worker or something, or like a maintenance person because of the high viz.
Yeah. Yeah. It turns out he was doing something like that because he was in this big, like 16-wheeler truck. Later on, we find out that was his truck.
He's trying
to escape. Yeah. Creepy trucker in a red jumpsuit.
Yeah. Like, oh my God. And like, it gets very uncomfortable. And then he stopped because as he was like ripping off her clothes, he ripped off her skin suit, revealing who she actually is under the skin. And freaked him out. It's like, oh my God, what's this? But I did not expect what would come later, immediately, which is he grabs a gas can and like lights her on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it comes to kind of like the her becoming human, I thought it was very poignant and really, for lack of a better word, shitty that this guy was the person to strip all illusions of humanity off of her in that moment, in this horrifying moment, and then take her life.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a poignant end because, like, even though she was an alien, she wanted to become a human. And ultimately, I think she was more human than us in the end. Because, like, there was this, even though she was killing people, this sense of innocence with her. Because, like, she was the outsider. She wanted to fit in. She couldn't fit in. But she experienced things that were so pure. Because, like, she met a disfigured man that society outcasted, just like her, on the outside. And there was a sense of humanity between these two people. That's why she didn't kill him. And then she encounters just a regular Joe that definitely went out of his way and like really showed compassion and chivalry. And it kind of brought a tear to my eye because like they were just, he was concerned in the beginning and then it kind of turned into love. And I really like the moment where like they're in the forest and like he picks her up, kind of like the, you know, the gentlemanly thing to do if there's like a puddle, and like takes her across the puddle so she doesn't get wet. And I'm like, oh my God.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
That's so beautiful. I'm getting emotional.
I want to date him.
What a man. I hope he doesn't die. He doesn't die, thankfully.
Oh.
But like she, you know, encounters the best of humanity and then at the very end encounters the worst of humanity. Because ultimately, through all of our civilizedness, we are still no better than that dude. You know? It's like, that's like within every single human, this desire to like destroy. We can't escape it. We're like animals.
There's the possibility for both, right? Because like, you can really see someone who someone really is when they have no one who's watching them. Because there's the guy who takes her in, right?
Yeah.
Nobody forced him to. He opened up his home and his heart, and he took this strange woman in. He thought she might have been probably from an abusive situation, and he's just fine. He could have been a real creep. There was a part of me that was like, is he a creep? And then he wasn't a creep. He was really nice.
Very respectful.
And then there was another person alone in the forest all by himself. And that's what he chose to do. I think that this movie is saying like, there's a lot of wiggle room for the kind of person that you can be, but it's up to you to choose it.
It's so astonishing what an alien, a non-human can reveal about humanity in those moments. God. And like, would you say that this film is a feminist in its theme and showing like feminine power and then also what our, you know, through her encounters, what society teaches men as a consequence.
Yeah, I would definitely say that this is a very, very good, like, feminist movie, because it can teach an empathy that a cis guy might not understand, of the fear of going out at night. That was, like, the biggest thing for me, and, like, the idea of what it is to be a predator versus what is, like predator versus prey situation in, like, a social sense. Mm-hmm. It also teaches, you know, aliens can be murdering girl bosses too, which always good. You know, we need representation in those regards.
Oh my God. Yeah. And it's like in that moment at the end, with the trucker guy, even though she was using her beauty to lure men, it's also problematic that it reveals that society doesn't show that there is equality between men and women, because, like, the dude in the forest thought, this isn't a person. This isn't a fellow human. This isn't my equal. I have power over her, and I can just do whatever I want because no one's watching.
And that was before he even found out that she was an alien.
Yeah. And then he took it upon himself to, like, I need to kill this thing.
Yeah, I think it was a very smart choice on the director's part to have this in rural Scotland as opposed to the U.S., because it would have been very different very quickly with the amount of guns that people have. Just like, oh, you're not human? Bang! Bang, bang!
I need to send you some freedom. This alien was not made in God's image. Oh, my God. But speaking of image, I want to talk about what this film says about body image. Because, like, I don't know if you noticed, but, like, there's a lot of use of mirrors in this film, both in, like, the abyss scene where you see, like, the mirror of, like, them, you know, they're in, like, this kind of like Stranger Things where it's, like, all black, but you could see, like, the image of them going underneath them. But the creature, the alien, also uses mirrors to look at itself. In the beginning, it used, like, the victim's compact to look at the image of herself. And she, like, kind of, like, weaponizes herself to procure single men into her van. So she, like, puts on the lipstick, puts on the makeup. She is, like, weaponizing herself as she begins to hunt men. And then in the middle of the film, it's more of, like, her observing humanity through, like, you know, it's shot very cinema verite, even literally, as they're going through, you know, Edinburgh or Glasgow or all these places. And then at the end, during the scene where she's in the home of that man that took her in, she's looking at herself and she's like, huh. Can I be human? Is this what it means to be human? So we see that transformation, that arc for her character, going from, I am a hunter, I am the predator, to, can I be human? Is this what it means to be human? Did you pick up on that?
Yeah. When you said body image, I thought you meant it in, like, a very different way. I thought you were going to talk about, like, the nudity aspects of the film, but no, I can definitely
you can get
see
into
what you
that
mean.
Too.
But it's very interesting how she's, like, in the first half of this movie, in the, like, first and second acts, she's, like, studying the physical parts of her appearance, like, trying to maintain the cover. But it's after she meets the her almost victim. I don't want to keep saying the disfigured man, but when she's, like, looking in the mirror and she's, like, she's not looking just at the surface anymore. She's going under the skin to have this moment of, like, mental reflection as opposed to physical reflection.
Right.
And for the rest of the movie, every time she's looking in a mirror, she's like, who am I? Who do I want to be?
Mm-hmm.
She's repeatedly choosing to try out this human thing, see how it goes.
Right. Right. And I think it's, personally, I think it's important we call him the disfigured man, because that highlights society's perceptions on who to trust. Because, like, Those men trusted her, going back to what we said earlier, because she was beautiful. People don't trust him because he's quote-unquote ugly, you know? But she doesn't have those societal perceptions. She is a blank slate. She just sees him as another dude. And that's why he's like, huh? What? You're not afraid of me? Beauty and the Beast. Literally. She's taming the beast. but you want to talk about body image.
Yeah, I thought it was very interesting because throughout the movie, she's as you and I have kind of been saying, she's always using her beauty to like entice her victims. But it's interesting to me in the scenes where she's naked and where her victims are naked, the camera, at least to me, felt like it wasn't sexualizing either of them. It was very anatomical.
Mm-hmm. Alien.
Maybe this is because this is a foreign film. This was filmed in Europe. Was this like a European film or was this meant for the States? Okay. So yeah, that explains why.
That can also be why, yeah. But I think Jonathan Glazer shot those because, you know, like we said before, she doesn't have context over, like, for example, the male gaze or the female gaze. It's just, I'm weaponizing what is working, what works, what's what men are looking for. And it's just sterile. It's literally in a sterile environment too.
Mm-hmm.
All black. It's just them. And what's interesting is like with each victim, she has like less and less clothes. Like the first time it's like, you know, she has clothing on. Second time she has like underwear. And then the third time she's like nude.
Mm-hmm.
It's just interesting because like it could be like she's also learning with each one what people want to see, what people are going for. God, this guy, you know, there's a reason why this guy, you know, was nominated for an Oscar this past year with Zone of Interest.
Didn't he win Zone of Interest?
He did. You're right. I forgot about that. You know, there are so many Oscars. I just wanted Poor Things to win, but that's a whole nother conversation. but yeah, I mean, this dude knows what he's doing, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
As me talking about a creative that makes these amazing films. But yeah, like, I think it was designed that way on purpose because, like, she's an alien. She doesn't know. She's just...
Yeah.
She just wants the suits, the skin suits. Feed on the flesh.
Show me some skin. Oh, I guess that skin too.
Let's go underneath the skin. Let's get off the fence. Because, all right. I don't know how you interpreted the film, but the onboarding to this, like I said, motorcyclist, the other alien, gets the body of a woman, and then Scarlett Johansson, like, takes her clothes, takes her identity, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you think that was a human, or do you think that was another alien, that woman in the beginning? It's pretty ambiguous. We don't know.
It is ambiguous. I'm leaning towards human because if she was an alien, we had seen what aliens looked like when she was in that last space, liminal space with the disfigured man.
Yeah.
There was an alien off some to the distance. I don't know if that was supposed to be like her.
That was supposed to be her.
Oh, that
she revealed
her
true self to him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did not pick that up. But I would figure if I was an alien dressing up as my alien compatriot, I would remove the disguise and I'd have it on like a mannequin. So I think she was like a human because why would you not want to learn from the prey that you were trying to seek, right? This person.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. She knows how to entice the men, apparently, so why not?
Right. She probably was a prostitute. Because, like, the guy's also going after people, too. And if the motive is the same, so Scarlett Johansson is going after single men with no families, no friends, just loners, people that won't be missed. He's probably going after women too, with the same attributes. No friends, no families, so probably sex workers. People that won't be looking for them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that makes sense. Here's my theory.
Okay.
So I like to think that was an alien that went rogue, just like she did, Scarlett Johansson's character, and he hunted her down, and Scarlett Johansson's character, the female, was her replacement. Because like near the end of the film, the same thing was happening. It went from like, okay, we're working together. She went off doing her own thing. And he was like, oh, I need to pursue her so we don't get revealed. I need to take her out. He ends up losing track of her. She dies anyways. So in my theory is that it's like a cyclical thing where it's like they're there hunting. She goes off, you know, off course. Mm-hmm. He course corrects it. And then she comes in and she's a replacement.
Yeah, I can definitely see the logic to that.
It could go either way. We don't know. So with the motorcyclist, what do you think his role was? Do you think he was, because like, we don't really know much about him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the point. Because like there's very few interactions Scarlett Johansson has with the motorcyclist, the other alien. Do you think he's kind of like this figure of dread that's like always in the background noise, coming in to like, I don't know, to make sure Scarlett Johansson is, you know, par of the course, and then turns into like, I don't know, this harbinger of doom because like she wants to be human and he's like, no, what are you doing?
I had made the assumption that he was kind of like her handler.
Okay.
So he was the one who found the body. So she took the clothes. She was doing that. And he was kind of like always from a distance, always following her. And it seemed like they were communicating. It almost felt like he was giving her orders. I could be reading a lot into it because they never actually, they didn't share a lot of like verbal words, but there was like something going on between the two of them.
Kind of like, I like how you say handler. So it kind of like symbolizes control in a way. There's a hierarchy going on.
Mm-hmm.
He's her boss.
Yeah. Something like that.
Even in alien worlds, there's managers and employees. Is that what you're saying?
Apparently.
Okay. So he's kind of like this constant reminder for her to like maintain her duties and, you know, protocols, or else there's going to be consequences. Because like he's a bad dude. Because like
ScarJo, you haven't hit your quota.
We need more. Because like she lets the man go, who's like disfigured, but he gets him, and I assume he kills him because he stuffs him into a trunk and drives off. We don't know what happens, but we can assume, given the track record so far. Probably got flown into the abyss and then got popped.
Or a situation that wouldn't benefit him, if your theory about the woman was true, he's going to be the next alien handler.
Oh. Okay.
Part of me was wondering that, and I'm like, oh, well, the aliens are about to have a very big fuck around, find out situation with that.
Very interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I think that's the point. Ultimately, I think because like this film is just, there's like a thick sheen of mystery. And I think that's the point because ultimately what's this film about? It's about aliens. And it's through the alien perspective. It's not us looking at the aliens. It's aliens looking at us. It's kind of like an ethnography film about human behavior, and they're just trying to understand how we operate. And so if we have this dude that isn't explained, you know, I think just his presence alone is kind of like contributing to that overall aesthetic of like, we don't really know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just like a set piece.
Yeah. And if I can kind of take a step back from the sci-fi.
Okay.
When, right before I saw the movie, I'd read a little bit and the director mentioned this was movie was supposed to be about immigration. I didn't understand what that meant until like 2/3 of the way through the movie, because I'm not an immigrant. But I remember I've spoken with immigrants and something from someone came into my head. So this woman, she's from Paris, she's from France. Now she lives in the US, she teaches French. She had been telling me, I've lived in the US so long, but I have a very strong French accent. I'm not considered American. But when I go back to France, I'm so American to them, I'm no longer French. And she was kind of saying it's how isolating it is. And I said that to Hector, and Hector's like, I feel the same way a lot of the time, actually.
Hector feels that way?
Yeah.
Because he's a weeb.
Well, he's originally from Puerto Rico. And we live in a very predominantly white state.
Right.
And even though there are a lot of Latino people near us, a strong majority of them are Mexican. So it's a very different culture. And people are always expecting him to act Mexican. And there's like 2 Puerto Rican restaurants near us. And when I say near us, I mean like within an hour and a half radius of us.
Yikes.
And when he goes to Puerto Rico, it always takes him a little bit to kind of assimilate back into Puerto Rican culture.
Mm. Yeah, that's interesting. Because like my father, when he came to America, 1984, he was a refugee. And he told me the same thing that French woman told you, where I've been away from, you know, like I emigrated here and I have a thick accent. Americans, when they first encounter me, first ask, where are you from? How long have you been here? Even though he's been here for decades, he's not considered American. But when he goes back home, same thing. He's too Americanized to be considered, you know, from his homeland. So he told me, he's like, Armand, I have no home.
Yeah.
How does that relate to Under the Skin? Because that's a very, very interesting take. And it's a very interesting vehicle to give that narrative with a woman from another planet.
Yeah, I'm sorry to dump this near the end of the episode, but when I realized it in the Bothy, it was because she'd been spending this time in human society. Like, she decided, like, that's it, I'm done. I don't want to do this alien stuff anymore. But like the scene in the restaurant, she sees humans eat. Let's try eating the cake. Nope, I don't think she had the equipment to eat the cake.
Right.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
And like trying to navigate the human relationships, especially the physical aspect, over and over, she was kind of proved like I can be very close to imitating a lot of human stuff, but it feels like she couldn't pass the barrier and fully become human herself.
Right. Because like she's not human, but then when she wants to become human, she's then not considered an equal in the eyes of her comrade, her compatriot, her handler, because then he pursues her with aim to probably kill her. So, God, that's so interesting to abstract it in that way. That sentiment of like, I have no home. She didn't have a home either. She didn't consider herself as wherever she's from, but then she's also not human. So it's, she was an alien in both worlds. Oh my God. This film is so good. The film is so incredible. And I did not expect that going into this, because like all I knew was Scarlett Johansson, alien, killing people,
kidnapping people in a van.
That's it. That's all I knew. And I was like, and then I'm leaving this film. I'm like, oh my God, this like sheds light on the human experience, brings up a mirror to humanity, to men, to women. And it's like, oh my God, I learned more about myself, more about other humans from an alien. Go figure. But that's the point of sci-fi, isn't it? Yeah. So my last question to you, Ruthie, would you recommend Under the Skin?
I think I would. Like I said, I don't think it's a movie that I would have watched on my own, but it is an interesting watch. I'd have to probably like, it's not maybe what you're expecting, but just give it a go.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. Because like, would I... Really, the only reason I watch this, I'm going to reveal myself, is because it's an A24 film. And it's my goal to watch all of them. All, there are over 100 of them, A24 films. I've seen a lot of them. But this has been on my list for, I think, ever since it came out, to be honest. I just haven't had time. There's so many things to watch, Ruthie. And I'm glad
There's too many things to watch.
Yeah. Would I watch this again? No. But I'm glad that I watched it. And I would recommend it to other people. I'm like, hey, if you want something that's a little bit different, a little bit unnerving, you know, a little bit conceptual, a little bit thought-provoking, then watch this film. You will not leave disappointed at all. You're going to take something away with you. Yeah, it's so good. I was very surprised when I turned it off that my mind is still thinking after the credits roll, when it fades to black. It's like, oh my God, that was actually a good movie.
It's definitely one that makes you think, and those are always really good movies.
Exactly. And before we sign off, I do want to give you a little tidbit, because like part of this film, you know, like I said, it was filmed guerrilla style. I'm sure they had permits. I'm sure it wasn't like, you know, let's just go out and film. But like, you know that scene where she's in Edinburgh and she falls down in public?
That was the first scene I was thinking of when you said that it was guerrilla warfare. I'm like, that scene? Those were just like people?
Those are just people. Yeah. And I bring that up
no
because...
No wonder they were confused.
Yeah. They're like, what? Are you okay? Like, yeah, they were confused. When I was there, I shit you nuts, they were filming, I think, a movie or a TV show with, I forget what famous person. I think it was from Outlander. They didn't block off the street. They're filming and just people were walking. Just like, you know, in New York, or it happened a few times in Chicago too, where I am walking and then I'm walking through a set and I'm like, okay, whatever. You're in my way. I'm not in your way. You're in my way. I'm trying to walk.
The only time I've ever really been in New York other than just the airport, I remember walking by and they had actually blocked it off, but it was, I think, when they were filming for that George Clooney movie, Mad Money.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. So you saw George in the flesh.
I wish. I saw a building that was roped off and they were like, you can't go there, high schooler.
You didn't see his gray hair shining in the sun.
Apparently not.
Oh my God. What's that? Oh, that silver fox over there. That's George Clooney. Oh, wow. That's amazing.
No, but if you've ever seen the show Grimm, that's filmed here locally, like just outside Portland metro area. Yeah. So my choir teacher's husband, he was a background SWAT actor. Oh. He like played a SWAT guy. He's a cop in real life. And my sign language teacher's husband, they've used that for filming like once or twice.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
God, I had no idea. I never got into Grimm. I always see the commercials on the CW and I was like, this looks pretty cool, but.
Grimm is the one that everybody recognizes. Leverage is a lot of it's filmed in Portland. My brother's dad actually worked on the show, and I think the librarian spinoff, that one, I think, not Noah Wiley, the long hair guy, he's been cited in Forest Grove a lot.
Oh my God. Wow, that's cool. That's incredible. Well, you guys have Halloween Town, the real one, right outside.
And we just went to the Point Break Beach.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You sent me photos. Yeah, man. That's so cool. There should be a statue of Patrick Swayze.
There really should be.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, Ruthie, I always enjoy our time together. I'm glad we watched this movie. You know, it was a very poignant discussion. I did not expect that. I was like, yeah, let's watch some horror movie. And I leave, I'm like, oh my God, that was deep.
More than skin deep.
Wow, that really went underneath my skin. Wow. Well, thank you for doing this. I always enjoy these.
Yeah, thank you again for having me on. This was a lot of fun.
Yes. Well, before we sign off, can people, you know, you're part of a podcast group, aren't you?
That I am. If you want to find more of what I talk about.
Yeah.
Boy, is this a plug. Reshoot, an Amateur's Guide to Gooder Film. We take movies we like, we don't like, maybe somewhere in between, and we try and fix them objectively, making them better. Our most recent episode as of recording is The Last Airbender, and it went about as well as you can expect.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine. You know, I think I need to bring, I need to come back to your show, because I did Minority Report, which was actually a pretty good movie, Gattaca, which I hated. So I have to come back with a shitty film. I don't know what.
I don't know. We've done a lot of stinkers lately. You're going to have to really work for it.
That's kind of the point of the show, isn't it? Take a bad movie and make it good. Gooder film. Anyways, Ruthie, thank you. This has been real.
Thank you.
Until next time, stop that scroll and spend more time watching. Goodbye, everybody.
That's it for this time on The Syndicate. We hope you enjoyed yourself. Keep the conversation going by adding us on Instagram and Letterboxd, where you can catch Armand along other podcasters and listeners at Syndicate. And until next time, stop that scroll and spend more time watching. Goodbye.